Hello.
I cooked a baked good using a light bulb, but stuff still happened. So what's up? Thought experiment. Consider the following. You are stuck in the Australian outback. You've got nothing. It's been like 10 days, no food. The only water you've got is anything you can muster together from puddles. And there's Australians. Well, not people, but animals. Do you survive? But I'll tell you who did survive. Carolina Wilga. Sick name. Wilga is a 26-year-old from Germany who was traveling in the Australian outback when her car broke down. She was nowhere near anything and was walking around for 11 days in the Australian outback alone with basically no food or water. Very thankfully, she was spotted by a passing driver who said that she looked distressed. I would think so. But she has been taken to the hospital. She's all right. I mean, considering. She's alive. According to her, she's taking it one day at a time, which is probably for the best because she's apparently covered in bug bites, like an obscene number of bug bites, which would probably be, of everything that you would have to deal with, the thing that gets me. I'm out. I'm done. So just real quick, my advice to you is don't get stranded in the Australian outback. Unless you got that Wilga in you. Stateside! Boy howdy, the US federal government is doing absolutely nothing to defeat the overtly evil allegations. A bit of history and context for those who are outside of the States or are new to the political landscape of the US. Ronald Reagan. That's kind of all the context, actually. Ronald Reagan once famously said, "The 9 scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help." And that phrase has destroyed the minds of an entire generation. In the US, government-provided services are seen as a moral failing. Because of that, it's wild. Republicans often campaign on cutting government spending and removing programs and removing social safety nets and healthcare and everything. Basically everything. They want to not have homeless shelters. They want to not have anything. Their ideology is just, you should have been better. So, but anyway, just with that background information, the Republican-controlled U.S. federal government has recently voted to strip $9.4 billion from the following. Quote, this bill rescinds funds that were provided to the State Department or the President for contributions to international organizations, contributions for international peacekeeping activities, global health programs, mitigation and refugee assistance, the Complex Crises Fund, the Democracy Fund, the Economic Support Fund, contributions to the Clean Technology Fund, international organization and programs, development assistance, assistance for Europe, Eurasia, and Central Asia, international disaster assistance, and transition initiatives. The bill also rescinds funds that were provided for USAID operations, the Inter-American Foundation, the U.S. African Development Foundation, the U.S. Institute of Peace, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So the public broadcasting one, that's why you've been seeing a whole bunch of stuff about how the government is killing PBS and NPR. That's not precisely what is happening, but the government is undermining funds that are used to go to public broadcasting initiatives. Now, that list of things is not perfect. There are some things on there that aren't quite exactly what the name says, but there's also things on there like international disaster relief and like the medicine programs and whatnot that USAID does. So again, this was less than $10 billion in total. Republicans just voted to add trillions to the deficit. But then they turn around and they point to this kind of stuff and they're like, look, we cut billions of dollars from the budget by getting rid of all these wasteful services, without talking about the specifics of the services and also hoping that you overlook the B, where there's usually a T. Now look, aid programs and social safety nets are not the problems with the government. As much as they want to make it seem like it's just a bunch of lazy people extracting money from the system and taking your dollars, that's what billionaires are. Again, 10 billion. All of that stuff, 10 billion. When we otherwise dole out hundreds of billions of dollars of contracts to bomb manufacturers. The US federal government is the bad guy. Like, we know this. Governance as a concept and government services provided to the public are not the bad guys. Be careful not to let unilateral hatred of the US government seep into your views of things that can be good for people. Food assistance programs, health assistance programs, housing assistance programs, all of these things strengthen communities and improve societies. They ultimately turn around and put more money in your pocket. Economies are stronger when there is stability among the populace. But instead of doing that, our foreign policy is what gets funded, which is to say bombs. Let's talk labor rights. There's a new appointee for the National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB. This is the group that works to ensure that workers in America have any semblance of rights. This group is essentially why unions can exist. And it exists because capitalism definitionally destroys itself without regulation. So while this board is supposed to protect workers' rights and help us keep our weekends, Trump has just appointed the head employment lawyer from Boeing. This guy, Scott Mayer, he is a lawyer who's been working at Boeing to essentially help them not have to deal with the fallout of all the things they do to their employees, like killing them. Who said that? For legal purposes, I do not have evidence that Boeing has killed an employee. I just have a lot of articles about it. Here's a quote from the Economic Policy Institute. Quote, Mayer has had a decades-long career as a corporate lawyer and has worked at Morgan, Lewis & Bockius, LLP, one of the largest management-side law firms that has represented corporations known for violating workers' rights. So, like, this is not surprising. This shouldn't be surprising. Donald Trump has a very long and well-documented history of screwing over workers, not paying out contracts, and getting rid of anyone who's inconvenient to him. In my lifetime, I don't think there has been a stronger anti-labor candidate than Donald Trump, and it blows my mind that people just don't see that. So where we're at right now is the NLRB has been in stasis. They haven't really been able to do anything because Trump fired some people from the board and they haven't been able to make any decisions. So he's appointing these people to try to get them on the board and undo things that Biden did to enshrine some workers' rights during his administration. Because won't someone think of the corporations? Won't anyone think of the companies? My stocks. Last thing for stateside. Let's talk about the Epstein. Here's an Epstein update. An Epstate, if you will. The Epstein files continue to be a thorn in the side of Trump, and he's made it so much worse for himself. The man has decided that the way he's gonna handle this is by attacking his own base. So after zigzagging on whether or not these files even exist, he went as far as to say that these files were made up by the Democrats, and anyone who believes that the Epstein files are a thing are his, quote, former supporters and are weaklings, which that pissed off his base a lot, which is hilarious. Because he called them weaklings and that made them mad. Like, out of everything that he has done, these people have the emotional capabilities of a middle schooler. It's outrageous. So he called them weaklings and losers and they got all big mad and now they're turning on him. But to be clear, MAGA turning on Trump doesn't mean that MAGA is no longer a far right group. Like, he's not far right enough for them. They want to establish a white Christian ethnostate and Trump is starting to become impotent in that regard. The inability to release the Epstein files is proof that he's not our guy. He's not going to deliver us to the world that he's been promising us. So a lot of them feel betrayed and not like, oh, I see the light now, but what happened to my guy? That said, if a non-zero number of people have a realization that they've been duped and they realize they've been duped this whole time, great. You got there eventually. Elsewhere. Hey, Germany, you weren't supposed to copy our homework. Germany hosted a summit with a handful of European allies to discuss a clamping down of immigration policy for the EU. They're unhappy with migrants and asylum seekers, and they want to get rid of them. Does this sound familiar? In getting rid of them, they want to deport them to third-party countries and hold them in deportation camps. Does this sound familiar? They want to get rid of them now without actually giving them due process and just yeet them out of the country so they don't have to look at them anymore and put them in a third party and then take care of it later. Does it sound familiar? Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. But they are doing that. And after they made that decision, they turned around and, as a show of force, deported 81 people to Afghanistan. Notably, Afghanistan's not a great place to be deported to right now. So much so that international human rights groups were like, what the fuck? Stop doing that. And like the UN Human Rights Council said, stop it. Stop deporting people to Afghanistan. Just kind of period. So to be clear, this has not been signed into law, but it is a direction of policy and it's already having an effect. But hey, don't mass deport people. Like, we have the room. Meanwhile, over in Cambodia, they're saving my cell phone. Authorities in Cambodia have been cracking down hard on scam call centers, arresting thousands of people over the past couple of weeks. Over 2,100 people have been arrested across a bunch of nationalities at dozens of locations across Cambodia that all are operating various call scams. This is a multi-billion dollar scam industry, and a lot of the people who are working these call centers are not there on their own volition. Human trafficking is a big source of their employment. And wouldn't you know it, USAID was investing in reducing human trafficking in that area before it was destroyed. These scams range from your typical go to 7-Eleven and get a Google Play gift card and give me the code to people imitating someone that you know in distress using an AI voice generator. Like, they're getting sophisticated, but again, lots of crackdowns. So thanks to Cambodia, I no longer have to deal with my old friend Scam Likely. Well, I still do, but less. Israel is bombing Syria now. So things aren't great in Syria. That's an understatement. And Israel is bombing them now. The reason that they are doing this, they state, is they are defending their Druze brothers in the region. Druze is an ethnic group that is prominent in Israel, but found all over that general region. It's not a great excuse to bomb Damascus. This means that Israel is now bombing Lebanon, Iran, Syria, and Gaza, in addition to their assaults in the West Bank and everything else they're doing in the region. International reactions are largely condemnation, like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you escalating this? And Israel says that they've got a right to defend themselves. Yeah, they're saying the strike is to help prevent militants from Syria who are taking over the country from threatening Israel. Ah! Just once can I open up any news site and not have it be that Israel is bombing someone and killing more people in Gaza. Let's move on to science and economy and technology. I kind of lumped a bunch of stuff into one. Oil. Chevron has acquired Hess, which honestly sounds like an RPG character, like got some really cool ancient item, but no, it's just oil companies. So Chevron, an energy company, bought Hess for $55 million, pissing off Exxon, who wanted Hess. Exxon filed a motion saying, hey, yo, we had dibs on that. I think that's exactly what the legal paper said. And the judge found that they did not actually have dibs. Said another way, Exxon was like, this feels like a breach of contract. We should have had a chance to buy shares of Hess, and that didn't happen. And the judge said, nah. And so Exxon's like, okay, well, we're gonna patch that in our contracts going forward. This is a massive acquisition. It's one of the biggest energy deals in decades, and it sent Exxon stock tumbling after it was announced. Threesomes, but with science. There is a procedure that's exceedingly rare and had a big leap forward recently out of the UK. It is a three-way IVF treatment. Women who have mitochondrial diseases have a high probability of passing that along to any child they may birth, giving them debilitating lifelong issues. If you can give birth and you have this issue, basically your options have been don't have kids or find a donor. And so your child is not gonna be genetically related to you. Basically the way it works is this, there's the two parents and a donor, and the donor's egg has the DNA that overwrites what the mother's DNA would have otherwise put in there to cause the mitochondrial disease. If it sounds like gene editing or eugenics, it's kind of similar, but there's a lot of safety guards. Obviously, anything that has to do with editing and messing with the genetic structure of an embryo is a slippery slope. But in this case, the way that it works is modifying a tiny, tiny fraction of the DNA that only affects the ability for the cells to produce energy. Everything else, all of the genetics, all of the traits, all of the ancestry, that's all from the parents still. And that's all the same as it would have otherwise been. So whether or not this makes you squeamish, you know, I'm not here to tell you how to feel about it, but there has been a lot of research into this, and there has been a lot of discussion among bioethicists about the potential risks of this slipping into something like a designer baby thing and a legal framework around it. But then on the flip side, you have 8 children who were born recently from this procedure, who are healthy with no signs of mitochondrial disease, who are related to their parents, who now have a child that they wanted. Obviously, adoption is an option as well, but a lot of people want to have a genetically related child. This is not a widespread thing. This is still exceedingly rare. It's been done like 3 times ever, basically, since 2016. So we're not about to have a massive uprising of genetically edited children, but it's a thing. Speaking of cells, we saved pandas. We didn't save pandas, but I actually learned that pandas are no longer endangered. They're still vulnerable, but they're not technically endangered. All right, so what did we do? We saved the goobers. We took their skin. Wait, I misread. Scientists took skin cells from a giant panda and successfully converted them into stem cells. Stem cells are those classic, you know, the omni cells. They're like, they can kind of turn into anything. They're really, really great for developing treatments. And this is a massive step forward in potential conservation efforts. So while the pandas are still, I mean, frankly, a very dumb species, maybe we'll have more of them. Maybe we're gonna each have our own panda in a few years. Who knows? Thanks, cells? Last thing for tech, it's a lot of computer. There's a lot of computer out there and they're making more of it. Mark Zuckerberg is in the headlines, which is never good because no one needs him in our life, but he's specifically in the headlines right now because he is talking about how Meta is going to build massive data centers about the size of Manhattan. You heard both of those parts right. I said data centers, plural, the size of Manhattan. They're doing this because they want to have more computing power for AI. Right now, AI is just deeply inefficient, and it's like that by design. It's not inefficient because these people are bad at making software, it's inefficient because it's inefficient software. And so to fix that, we just need an endless supply of energy and computational power so that these AI systems can handle the load that is currently being subsidized by investors. That was a lot of words to say the tech industry is just doing tech industry things, but I would like a world with clean water and breathable air. Because as he's talking about building these giant data centers, we've been hearing about the data center that's powering Grok, Elon Musk's AI, from Memphis, that's poisoning the air. These tech oligarchs are increasingly detached from reality, and it's getting out of control. I don't know when we decided that being slightly okay at having a tech company means that you get to just ignore all rules and you deserve to shape the future of reality. Like, I don't think that's the right group to lead us, but here we are in our Manhattan-sized computers. Hey, thank you so much for being here. Did you know that I've got a Patreon and a newsletter, and I'm on Blue Sky and Tumblr and Mastodon, and I stream on Twitch, and I'm building a tabletop role-playing game? I do a lot of shit. Discord server. Links in description. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Gaming. Roblox is rolling out an IP licensing system. Hot damn. Roblox is an online, like, metaverse-ish platform. It's somewhere between a social space and a game engine. It's indescribably popular, and it has all the metaverse stuff, like hosting digital concerts and all that good stuff. Now they're rolling out a platform for companies with intellectual property to put that up for use in Roblox. This is so that developers who build on the Roblox platform can use actual, like, IP stuff in their games. Like, imagine Spider-Man running around, but it's above board instead of not business. Meanwhile, over at Virtuos, there's been some layoffs. Virtuos is a co-development company. They are a contractor company that works with studios to help build out big projects. Recently, they worked on the remaster of Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, and despite its success, they're being laid off. They're laying off about 270 people, around 7% of their workforce, primarily in Asia and Europe. The reason for this, they cite, is headwinds in the industry. Essentially, the gaming industry can't find its ass with both hands, and they've been spooked to greenlight AAA stuff recently. Because of that, there are less big projects with less big budgets going around, so less need for co-developers. This'll wax and wane as the market churns around, but largely, it's just kind of a bummer that, like, really good talent is just being thrown aside because executives. Which has been the case. It's not like this is a new thing, but I'm still mad about it, you know. Last thing for gaming, Nintendo has announced the casting for Link and Zelda in their upcoming live-action Zelda movie. Now, I am wary about this because I'm a fan of the Hi-Ya boy and everything. Don't fuck it up. Please. Lightning round. If you live in the UK, some porn sites are going to start requiring age verification by way of credit card verification shortly. Someone hacked Elmo's Twitter account and started spewing a bunch of anti-Semitic shit. Get off Twitter. Someone managed to break into vehicles owned by backup dancers for Beyonce on her tour and stole unreleased Beyonce music. Security officers at an airport in Germany confiscated 1,500 baby tarantulas that were being hidden in a box of confectionaries. They said that it smelled bad. The Late Show with Stephen Colbert has been canceled after Trump beefed with Paramount. Paramount is the parent company of CBS, who runs that show, and Trump does not like him. They maintain that it was a purely financial decision, that the timing is a bit wacky. A Netflix executive has stated that they have officially used AI generative technology to produce effects for a show on their platform. And they're gonna do more of it. And finally for today, popular music group Massive Attack has announced a coalition of musicians who have spoken out about Gaza. It is an effort to try to come together and push back on some of the coordinated hate campaigns against them and the legal campaigns against them as well. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and the secret location of those tarantulas. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.